This program is designed to provide general information with regards to the subject matters covered. This information is given with the understanding that neither the hosts, guests, sponsors, or station are engaged in rendering any specific and personal medical, financial, legal, counseling, professional service, or any advice. You should seek the services of competent professionals before applying or trying any suggested ideas.
Good morning and welcome to K4HD Radio. This is the Your Living Brand Live show. My name is Ben Baker. This show is all about how you communicate value, how you build influence through trust, and recognizing who your audience is and who they are not. Over the next 50 minutes, we will explore different ways to help you demonstrate your uniqueness and ask our guest, what's your story? Welcome to the show. Good morning, everybody. It's Ben Baker. It's the Your Living Brand Live show on K4HD. It's 10 o'clock on the West Coast, and welcome to the show. I want to first shout out to Rebel. You know, Rebel is my phenomenal sound engineer. She's the one who keeps me organized and keeps me sounding great. So thank you very much, Rebel. And welcome to all, you know, everybody out there on the radio. Welcome, you know, sit back, listen, enjoy the show. And you know, as you have questions, you know, chime in. Give me your questions. I love to answer the questions. I love hearing what your thoughts are. This week, I have Dennis Brown on my show. And Dennis is the host of the Growth Experts podcast and one of the most incredible LinkedIn authorities I have ever met. And we are just going to dive deep into that. But before we start talking about this, let me tell you where I've been. Last week, I apologize. I wasn't on the air. You know, we were able to pre-record a phenomenal episode with Debbie, but I was at 30,000 feet heading to Houston. One of my clients was having an open house. They took over an entire floor of a building, and they had this incredible event. I ended up doing a book signing there, had a great time, had a lot of fun, got to see the city of Houston, ate some great barbecue. But I'm back, and it's great to be back in the chair. It's great to be with you guys. But beyond the fact that I went to Houston last week, the most amazing thing that I did was Monday and Tuesday, I was invited, I got a media pass to go to the International Association of Business Communicators, and that's a mouthful, their World Conference. They held the World Conference here in Vancouver where I live, and I was lucky enough to get a media pass to go there and talk to people about the future of communication. You know, it's something that I'm passionate about, and I thought I was passionate about communication. I thought I was passionate about getting people to understand a story and to be able to tell a story effectively. I had nothing on some of the people in the audience that day and some of the people on stage. It was an incredible 2 days, and I wanted to talk to you about it. The number one thing and the thing that gave me most hope was to talk about, you know, technology is being used as a crutch. Everybody is hiding behind technology, and the big theme behind the conference was get technology and get it out of the way. Yes, we need email. Yes, we need social media. Yes, we need text. Yes, we need all these sort of things, but they shouldn't get in the way of effectively communicating with each other. Sending an email and assuming that everybody understands exactly what you need from them, why, and how you need it done is illogical. It just doesn't happen. You need to have the two-way conversation with people, not only be able to communicate what you need, but be able to have them understand what you're saying and how you're saying it, and be able to ask questions back. It's that two-way communication street that makes all the difference in the world, and you just lose that. You just absolutely lose that when it comes to social media. You know, social media is great. We get to meet new people. We get to have conversations with people around the world and be able to build new relationships. But we have to know when is the time to take those relationships that are online and take them offline. When is it time to go deeper, to build better understanding, build better relationships, to listen to each other, to empathize with each other, to figure out what makes people tick? What are the challenges that they're really having? What are the things that wake them up at night and make them tear their hair out? What are the things that they're passionate about? what are the things that they really want to tell you and you, they really want you to understand? That's what communication is about, and that's what this conference was about. I went to this incredible 2-hour workshop by a guy by the name of Mark Schumann. Now, Mark Schumann is the chief culture officer for Sabre. Now, Sabre is the back-end technology that American Airlines and pretty much every airline uses in terms of the reservation systems. You know, they're a 10,000-person company, a 10,000-person company. And Mark has online video conference with over 2,000 people every single month within the company to get state of the union, what's going on with the different offices around the world. And he has them 13 and 15 people at a time. They're small enough chats that he can get a gauge of what people are actually thinking and be able to have that two-way, be able to have conversations. If he can do them live, he does them live. But if they're people that are around the world, he makes sure that it's not just a telephone conversation, it's a video conversation. So not only are you hearing people, but you're reading their body languages. You're looking at their faces and realizing that they're puzzled. They don't understand what you're saying, and that you have the ability to be more clear in what you're doing. And he takes that information and he dissects it. And once a month, he creates a podcast that goes out to all 10,000 employees that says, listen, this is what I learned from the conversations that I've had around the company this month. And everybody has the ability to understand and ask him questions and be able to have that ability to not only understand his point of view, but what those other 1,000, 1,500, 2,000 people in the company are thinking about, and having a better understanding of what's the culture, what's the state of the culture of the company today. Where is it and where is it going? What are the challenges that we're facing? What are the successes that we're having? And how do we work together to make things better? And that was what I took away from the entire week. The entire 2 days of the conference. I took it away that we need to get better at being able to celebrate the good, the bad, and the ugly, to be able to have those meaningful conversations to say, listen, not only this is what went well and ring that bell for that phenomenal sale, but be able to sit there and say, listen, these are the challenges. Help, have operations be able to talk to sales, be able to tell marketing, talk to finance, and be able to work together to solve a problem instead of siloing everything and saying, that's a sales problem. That's a customer experience problem. That's an operations problem. That's a finance problem. No, it's a company problem. It's a company problem because it's affecting the customer. And whether it's affecting the internal customer, i.e. the employees, or it's affecting the customer out there that's actually paying the bills. Either way, the problem is not siloed within a very department. It's got to be dealt with interdepartmentally and have those conversations to allow people to be able to fix the problem effectively. Pardon me, a little bit of cough coming in. And be able to motivate people to understand that, you know what, we're all working together. Get out of your department. Get out of your division and realize that we're all working together for a common goal. And that goal is to be able to take care of the customer, to build the customer experience, and to be able to elevate the brand so more people trust the brand and want to buy from the brand and talk about the brand and be involved in the brand and loyal to the brand. And the only way that we can do that is when we communicate effectively. We need to be better at doing that. We need to be better at being able to not only talk, but to listen. And it's not about listening to be able to talk to the next thing and to be able to say that, yeah, but. No, it's actually listening in a way that people, you understand what the other person is saying and what they believe and what their challenges are and what their goals are. And here's a great question. How do we reach that goal? How do we do it? You practice it. You get better at it every single day. You work at it within your team, within your division, within your department, within your office, within the region, within the company itself. And the more you have people within the company that are advocates for it, and you build a customer success team, a customer communication team that works interdepartmentally and interdivisionally and office ways to be able to open up those lines of communication, the better things can be. And it's challenging. I'm not going to kid anybody. It's a hard thing to do. And how would you start? You start by sitting there going, where are the biggest challenges what we're having with the company? That's a great question. Where do we start? What are the biggest challenges we're having with communication? Start there. You know, start with little wins. And it might just be a department. You might just sit there and say, listen, let's get this department to talk better to each other and then build out from there. Because little wins become bigger wins, and bigger wins become bigger wins, and bigger wins become department, you know, company division-wide, you know, wins, and all of a sudden things get bigger and bigger. You know, it's not that easy. What I'm saying is not something that comes overnight. I'm not saying that's something that is done immediately, and I'm not saying that's something that doesn't take a lot of effort. And it's got to come from the top down. Everybody from the senior leadership, the CEO, down to the person who sweeps the floors and everybody in between has to believe that communication is important, and not just talk about it, they have to do about it. The CEO has to have conversations beyond the C-suite. They need to talk to people outside of their, you know, their 10 fingers, the people that they talk to on a regular basis. They need to talk to managers, they need to talk to employees, they need to talk to delivery drivers, they need to talk to salespeople, they need to talk to marketing people, they need to talk to operations people, and be able to have a better understanding of what's going on in different divisions that may not be heard when things get filtered from, you know, from manager to senior manager to director to vice president to the C-suite level, and all that conversation gets filtered. We need to break down those filters, and we need to get people to have those conversations. So let's take a breath. Let's stop. Let's have a minute. Let's go out for commercial. And when we come back, I'm going to bring Dennis on board, and he and I are going to talk LinkedIn, because you know what? That's a place he and I call home. We'll be right back.
This is Ben Baker of the You're Living Brand.live show. On K4HD Radio, we'll be right back.
The Your Living Brand Show is brought to you by Your Brand Marketing. Did you know that the world views your brand not as you desire, but as it relates to them? That's why you need to communicate your brand. Tell a story. Win loyalty. Your Brand Marketing helps you reach that goal. It's time to stop being a commodity and instead be a brand worth loving. It's time to contact Your Brand Marketing. Please visit www.powerfulpersonalbrands.com. Download a free chapter of the book on personal branding. That's www.powerfulpersonalbrands.com. Download your free copy now.
Welcome back to K4HD Radio. This is Ben Baker, and this is the Your Living Brand.live show.
And we're back. And before I bring Dennis on, I want to make this perfectly clear. There's nothing wrong with online communication if it's effective and well done, but it's limited. And Dennis and I are going to talk about that. We're going to talk about, you know, what you can do to make your online conversations more engaging, more real, and how you can build relationships online. So, Dennis, are you there?
I'm here, buddy.
Hey, there he is. How are you doing today?
I'm doing great. How about you?
All right. I have been looking forward to this interview for so long. You know, you are a rock star. You know, and I always love interviewing rock stars. So, you know, thank you for, you know, for blessing me with your royalty.
If there is such a thing as a LinkedIn rock star, I'll take it. I'm not sure that everybody would agree, but hey, listen, I'm down to any time to talk about LinkedIn.
You know what? We'll get you a t-shirt made up that says, I am a LinkedIn rock star.
All right, let's do it.
I got it. We'll figure that out. You know, I got to get it done and get it down to you. I think that is absolutely has to happen. You know, Dennis and I met on LinkedIn. I don't even know how long ago. You and I have been friends for years now. And I started off following you and listening to your podcast and, you know, and just watching you from afar, you know, starting off like everybody does, you stalk people, You know, that's what it is. You stalk people, you don't really engage. You sit there and say, okay, what is this person really about? Are they real? Or are they just, are they just flapping their gums and waiting? And the more I listen to you and the more that I listen to how you engage on LinkedIn, the more impressed I became. So I wanted to give you an opportunity to talk about it because you do some incredible things, not only with the community that you have, but the consulting that you do and the book that you've written. But I wanted to get you the chance to talk about it. So tell me a little bit more about, tell me more about Dennis Brown. Where did you come from? Where are you and where are you going?
All right. So the short elevator version, the non-boring version we'll give everybody, right? I've been an entrepreneur for about 25 years. I'll save you a whole lot of grief. The first 10, I got bucked off the horse and had a ton of failure. And finally figured a few things out. So the last 15 years, I have been able to build 3 multimillion-dollar companies in 3 different industries. And during the last business that I started back in 2003, it was a B2B service company. From 2003 to 2016, I grew and then later sold that company after growing it to about $80 million in sales. And along the way, I was always a big fan of internet marketing. I was always a big fan of online marketing and lead gen and content marketing and all the things that were happening, email marketing. But when social media came around, I'll be honest, guys, I was a total social media naysayer. I couldn't connect the dots between how Facebook was going to generate business for my company, right? And so I was very narrow-sighted. Next thing you know, in comes LinkedIn. I was invited to connect with someone on LinkedIn that I knew close. And so I figured I'd give it a look. I took a look at it and it just looked very different to me. So I decided to dive in and I went from being a social media naysayer to a guy who landed a 6-figure client for my business in the first 60 days. So you can imagine I got real excited about my find, about finding LinkedIn. And from there on, we went on to, I developed a system, taught my team, and we leveraged it heavily within my business. Again, that was a B2B service company. We generated over $20 million in new business, annual recurring revenue for my business exclusively using LinkedIn. It was all organic with no paid ads. So,
wow.
Yeah. So since then, I have sold the company and I actually do a lot of consulting, speaking, and training in and around my LinkedIn marketing system and social selling. And so that's kind of become an accidental business here the last 3-4 years in particular. And I'm having a ton of fun. I have a lot of fun doing it. It's how we met through LinkedIn and launched the podcast last year. I had you on the show, which was great. We talked about, I think it was Growth Experts Podcast. So I think it was episode 104 where we were talking
106,
about,
if I remember correctly. Yeah.
Yeah. And we were talking about the importance of trust, building exactly. Trust between you and between your target market and your brand. And that was a great episode. So I really appreciate you having me here today. And, I look forward to digging in.
Yeah. So here's my biggest question. I think it's the biggest question everybody asks. What's the number one thing you see people doing wrong on LinkedIn?
Well, it's hard to just pick one.
All right, what's the platforms? Top 5 list? Let's do that.
Yeah, okay. Yeah. So we'll give you the top few, right? The really boring one that nobody wants to talk about is their profile, right? I don't want to sit here and give a little mini class on how to create and optimize and create a customer-centric profile, but it really is where you got to start. And so it's not a resume. You need to treat it more like a personal branding site. And that's one of the biggest mistakes, because if you don't get that right, I don't care who you connect with. I don't care who you engage with. I don't care what content you put out there. I don't care about any of the next steps. If you screw up first base, right, you're never going to get the second. So That's a really important one. It's boring, but it's important. Okay. So that's definitely one that you need to start with. And then from there, I think the other side of it is, people treat social media whenever they're leveraging social media for business development or sales or marketing, they have a tendency to really get in a rush, right? They treat everything like it's like, you know, everything has to go high speed and they need to slow things down. I mean, I tell everybody, this isn't Tinder, right? We're not speed. We're not speed.
Swipe right. Swipe right. Yeah.
Yeah. We're not speed dating, right? I mean, we need to, you need to invest. You were talking about it in the early, prior to when I came on, I was listening and you were talking about, you know, developing relationships and the ability to convert those relationships from online to offline. And so, you know, that takes time. You know, you can't just meet somebody and say, hey, let's get married, right? You wouldn't do that at a networking event. You wouldn't do that at a conference, you know, and you shouldn't do it online. So you need to slow the process down. Those are enough. That's another big one. And then the last one is obviously leading with your pitch, right? You know, where people are going in and, you know, they send you a nice connection request and they disguise it like they're genuine. And then the next thing you know, five minutes later, you get beat over the head with the sales pitch of, hey, I do web development or I do SEO or I'm a consultant for this or I do this. You know, can we get on a call? Right. And that kind of goes back to that slowing down part. So I think two and three are kind of intertwined. And then the last one I'll give you is, and this is more of a recent phenomenon over the last couple of years, people underestimate the power of leveraging content on LinkedIn. So you were talking how there's, you know, a lot of times when you meet somebody new, you lurk, right? You become that lurker, right?
Absolutely.
And you're consuming. So I tell everybody, if you want to start developing relationships with people, you want to start leveraging the platform for all that it's worth, you have to stop consuming and you have to start creating. Mm-hmm. And so consuming is okay. There, you can definitely get some engagement there. But when you start creating compelling, you know, and relevant content for your target market, the level of engagement that you get back is 100-fold, right? And so, you know, I think those are probably some of the things that people, you know, that could really learn from and try to apply. And you'd see some pretty good ROI pretty quick.
Yeah. And tell me if I'm wrong. I mean, it used to be that the content creators on LinkedIn were 5%. You know, the people that were actually creating original content and actually putting out original thought on content, you know, within their content, we're maybe 5% of the overall, you know, audience of LinkedIn. Is that still true or is it growing?
I think it was less.
Okay. Which is probably true.
Yeah, it was probably more like 1 or 2%. And now it's grown dramatically, right? So I don't know the exact numbers, but you can just look at the feed. I mean, I remember what the feed looked like, you know, 3 years ago, right? And now I look at the feed today and, you know, it's at least 10x. Okay. Yeah. I mean, it's got to be 10x. Not only is the amount of content, but the quality of content as a whole has gone up, right? Because I think people are learning, creators are learning what works, what doesn't on this platform, because it's a little different. It's different than Twitter. It's different than Instagram. It's different than Facebook. There are some similarities, but it has its own kind of special sauce in regards to what people engage with. And a lot of that depends also on your target market, right? I mean, who are they? And are you really relevant to them, right? Yeah. And how are you delivering it? Videos become a big, big part of LinkedIn, you know, whether, you know, they launched native video a while back where you could upload your own videos. And then obviously LinkedIn got behind that heavily. They kind of stacked the algorithm, so to speak, so that you could get a lot of reach with your video content. And now they've just launched LinkedIn Live. Well, it's in beta, right? LinkedIn Live.
I saw you did your first LinkedIn Live. I saw that you did your first test. That was kind of cool.
Yeah, so it's in beta, but they are slowly rolling it out. And I was fortunate to get access to LinkedIn Live. Literally, just I opened my office, opened my computer Monday morning, and I got the notification that I was approved for Live. And I was like, I didn't think it was going to happen because, to be honest with you, you know, there's no back doors. You know, there wasn't like a situation where I could go, you know, call in a favor, right?
Right.
It was those deals where, you know, I don't know what the rhyme or reason for getting approved was, but ultimately I got approved and did a little bit of a Live. And I'm cautiously optimistic. I see a lot of other people that are doing well with Live. Uh-huh. And there was a lot of engagement. I did kind of a test. It wasn't like an official live. I did a kind of a tech test because there's a little bit of technology involved with it. And then I just asked the audience, I said, hey guys, what type of content do you want to see on this live? I want to do like a weekly show. What do you want to see? And should it be like a Q&A? Should it be more like a, you know, talk 5 minutes on a topic? Should it be more like a, you know, like a, an influencer or collaboration with somebody else on LinkedIn? I was just trying to get feedback because I want to give it, one of the things I've learned is, you know, if people want pancakes, feed them pancakes, right? Don't try to feed them waffles because it's not going to work. Even though they're close, they're still not the same. Right. So I asked and I got some really good feedback. And so I'm planning on having a live show on a weekly basis. And I'll kind of keep it on the QT, what the topic's going to be or how the format is. But you know, if you're interested, you know, obviously connect with me on LinkedIn and hopefully we can get a chance to chat.
Absolutely. I'm looking forward to finding out what that weekly show is going to be about. And I'll probably tune in just because I think it's a lot of fun. You know, it's interesting because you talked about, you know, LinkedIn and Twitter and Facebook and each having their own voice. And it's a matter of people understanding that because, and how they've grown, how that voice has grown, how that voice has changed over the years. Because when people first started out, everybody was, oh, Facebook, 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 Facebook. And everybody's got to be on Facebook. And I'm going, but that's not my audience. And they say, oh, but you have to be on Facebook. And my answer was always, why? You know, why do I need to be on Facebook? Well, everybody is, but are those people my audience? Are those the people that are interested in what I have to say? And can I add value to them on that platform? Now, I'm a big believer of LinkedIn is truly where my audience is, and that's where I add value. But I want to find out, how did you determine that? How did you determine that, you know, what people wanted to hear from you on LinkedIn, and what made you build your audience in a way that was authentic? Like, how did you go about that process?
Yeah, so I consider myself kind of like the crash test dummy for LinkedIn. Okay, I've been on LinkedIn for a decade now, right?
So yeah, welcome to my world.
Right, been on LinkedIn for a decade. Have seen many, many iterations of LinkedIn. Have made every mistake that I pointed out to everybody else early on, and probably a lot more than that, right? So when something, you know, one of the things that I do is I'm not afraid to test, right? A lot of people, when they put a post on social media, they're concerned, truly concerned with, well, what if it doesn't get any engagement? And that holds them back from posting the content or trying new things. Me, I really don't care, right? If it doesn't work, it's a lesson learned. So when I first started really leveraging content, you know, 2+ years ago and started posting 3, 4, 5 times a week or more, you know, I basically created different buckets of content. And so, you know, some of the primary buckets are obviously one of the big buckets is educational, right?
Yeah.
People love to learn things, but they want to learn them in bite-sized pieces, particularly on LinkedIn. They don't want to sit, it's not a webinar. They're not going to sit through a 30 or 45 minute video, right? But they'll sit through a 3, 4, 5 minute video. Okay. So if the content is good. So education is one of those buckets, right? For sure. Another one of those is entertaining, right? Entertaining. You don't think about LinkedIn as being the entertaining place, right? It's not Facebook, it's not Instagram, right? You don't think of that as the entertainment hub. But if you can entertain somebody and make something interesting and fun, and then you can tie it back to your message or to your brand or to your audience, that's when that can be very powerful. So, you know, you can have some, you know, you can curate some third party content or create something interesting that falls into the entertaining bucket. And then the last one is that I've tested and works pretty well is inspirational, right? Everybody loves a great story. That old adage, right? I learned a long time ago, facts tell, but stories sell, right? That always sticks in my head. And so, you know, those inspirational type posts, and I don't necessarily mean just, you know, the quote memes and things like that, although some of them are okay, you know, but more inspirational where maybe it's, you know, where you're talking about, maybe it's a podcast episode where you were, you know, you share the story of somebody who had a lot of trials and tribulations and eventually succeeded. You know, my story, I mean, the first 10 years, I got kicked in the teeth by a horse every single day and just kept coming back. I was dumb enough and just, you know, just naive enough that I kept coming back. And eventually we had some success, right? Because trust me, I had tons of failures along the way. And
so, but you learned from them. That's right. The key thing.
And so I think those three buckets, right, the educational, entertaining, and inspiration, those are my go-tos, but it took a little bit of time to figure out. I think those formats do work well on LinkedIn. I think those three will work well. And I think there's plenty of other things that probably will work well, depending upon you, depending upon your audience, depending upon how you deliver. You know, you and I, you know, we definitely have some similarities, right? We both love the audio format, right? We love podcasts. We love the radio. Probably not quite as much on video, although I've really pushed myself hard to get on video more, and I'm doing that more and more. But yeah, I think that would be, that's kind of how I learned and kind of how I frame it now. Does that help?
It absolutely does. I mean, I just say they're going, there's so many people out there trying to hack the system.
Mm-hmm.
You know, they're just sitting there going, oh, you know, if only I had 30,000 followers, if only I had, you know, this many connections, if only I had this, and I'm going to do whatever it takes to be able to build up that audience. And I just sit there and look at all these things and all these hacks and all these things that you see online. And it drives me crazy because I sit there going, okay, you've got a bigger audience than I do. You've got a bigger megaphone, but are they the people that truly want to hear what you have to say, or have they just connected with you through clickbait? You know, and I'm just wondering what your thought process is on that. I've colored this, but you know, I look at it and I sit there and say, you know, for instance, 6 months ago there was all of those posts that everyone was writing that were the 1,300 word posts that were written in that certain style that were, you know, that were all about telling the story.
Broetry.
Yeah, the broetry. And it got to a point where, to me, it was nauseating. You know, it got to but the only reason that people were jumping on it is because the algorithm loved it. And, you know, and you just sit there and say, okay, fine, but this person is just, you know, is the story true? Is it not true? Are they just trying to be sensational? Or is this, you know, is this real? And I just find that, you know, what to you is the most important part of when you're online, when you're actually creating content? It doesn't matter what style of content you need. What's the number one thing you're thinking about as you're creating that content?
Relevance.
Yeah.
100% relevance, right? And I don't mean, and this is where people get me wrong. If you follow me on LinkedIn, you're going to find that probably only about 10% of my content has anything to do with LinkedIn marketing or social selling.
Right.
About 10%. So I'm probably on the very low end, right? But I don't like to just talk about one thing. But what you will find is I talk about a lot of different topics and create a lot of different content and share a lot of different information about things that are important to my target market. My target market are coaches, consultants, and B2B sales leaders. Those are my three primary targets. Those are the people that find the most value in the products and services I can deliver, right? And the content that I deliver. So what I do is in those form of those buckets, the educational, entertaining, and inspirational, I create content that's relevant to those people. I don't care what anybody else thinks about my content. If you don't fit that target market, I'll be extremely honest with you. You can troll me. You can disconnect from me. You can stop following me. You can curse at me. I don't really care because that's not why I'm there. I'm not there to make friends with everybody. I'll be friendly, but I'm focused in on my exact target market. And the relevance is really the key, right? So I think that when you're a one-trick pony and you only talk about one thing all the time, people start to tune you out after a little while because it's the same old, right? You know, you have to diversify not only the format of the content, but the topic of the content. But it doesn't matter if you're talking about something that's not related to your product or service, as long as it's important to them. Exactly. You're delivering it. You're giving your perspective. You're giving your opinion. And I think that's really the key. The first thing I think of all the time is this idea relevant to my target market? If not, it just automatically gets X'd out.
Yeah, and I think that that is so critical and that's so important. If you don't know who your audience is and you don't know what they care about and what are the things that are important to them, you've missed the boat. You've absolutely missed the boat because it's not about you. conversation is not about you. It's about how are you helping somebody else move their needle? How are you making their lives better? How are you making their lives more interesting, teaching them something, giving them, you know, a tool that they can use to make their lives better? You know, that was the goal when I first started this show, is interviewing a different guest every single week to be able to provide a wide variety of opinions and thoughts and ideas that was relevant to my audience. And, you know, that was the key thing for that. And I think that I don't care what your company is or who you are, what you do, you need to be understand, first of all, who are the people that you serve? You know, that is the thing, is who are the people that take care of you and you take care of them and you have that symbiotic relationship? Because everybody else, as you said, it doesn't matter. You know, there's 7.5 billion people in the world. I can't help all of them. You know, if I could help 0.01% of those people in the world, I'd be a billionaire, and I'm not. You know, so
Yeah, totally agree.
You know, so
I think it comes back to, I'm sorry to interrupt, but it comes back to that. It comes back to that idea of, it's not about going viral. It's not about vanity metrics, whether that be views or likes or connections or followers. You know, that adage, I forgot who brought it up, but that 1,000 true fans concept, right? Would you rather have 30,000 LinkedIn connections with little or no engagement and little or no in conversations and little or no opportunities, or would you rather have 1,000 true fans that whenever you put a piece of content out there, there was tons of engagement. Whenever you put an offer out there, there was all kinds of interest, right? And there's a dialogue back and forth, not a one-way dialogue. Give me the 1,000 true fans all day long and Absolutely. Twice on Sundays, and I'll get rid of all the vanity metrics. I don't care how many views I get. I don't care how many likes or shares. I mean, yeah, that dopamine, you know, boost is nice, right? And sometimes it'll motivate you to do a little bit more, but it's short-lived, right? What's really valuable is knowing that you have an audience that truly appreciates your voice and what you have to deliver. So don't worry about making everybody happy. The surefire way to fail is to try to make everybody happy.
Yeah. I got a question from the audience. Is how do we know who we can help?
How do you know who you can help? Okay. Yeah. Well, so there's a couple different ways that you can approach this, right? I think the direct way is, you know, if you have an existing business. Now, someone who's asking this question, they're probably either looking to start a business or they've just started a business. That's probably my gut. Do you agree, Ben?
Probably.
Yeah, I mean, they're probably early on if they're saying, how do we know who we can help? So what I would say is you need to take a look at the inventory of what unique value you can provide. And it doesn't even have to be unique. It just has to be slightly different, right, than how other people are doing it. So take an inventory of the things that you're good at, the things you like doing, and then look into the market, right, and find out where that demand is, right, or also look at where your network is. So let me give you a perfect example. I had a logistics company, right, a third-party logistics company that I started in 2003, sold it in 2016. So I had a market that I was very in tune with, right? I knew who those customers were. So when I pivoted out of this, right, when I pivoted out of that business, I still had a lot of connections there. And what I realized is there was a lot of demand for the other services that I offer now in that same industry, even though it was a total non-competitive product, non-related product or service. But it was the network that I knew, the industry I knew, it was the skill set that I had, right? And then what I did was I put it out there, right? I put it out to them and I said, listen, if I would you, right? If I did this, if I provided this value, would you be interested? And if you hear crickets, well, then it's probably not a good match, right? You probably aren't on the mark. But if you start getting some meaningful feedback, then all of a sudden now, you know, you can have dialogue and engagement and conversations with those people, and you can tweak it. And then that's where you're going to want to convert those conversations online to offline. And that's when you can really try to tweak your offer and tweak the audience that you're offering it to. I hope that helps. I mean, that's a little bit of a framework that just came to mind of how they might be able to, you know, tackle that.
Yeah. I mean, just to add to that, and it's a good, you know, you did a great job with that, is to sit there and say, okay, what do I truly do? What is the problem that I truly solve? And the question is, who are the people that have those particular problems? Who are the people that actually are tearing their hair out looking for a solution to to something that I have the answer to? And that is your, that in a nutshell is your audience. It's the people that you can solve their pain points. They have a problem that they don't know how to fix, and you do. And if you can articulate how you can solve their problem, first of all, that you understand their problem, that you empathize with their problem, and that you have a solution that is going to solve their problem in a way that's efficient, cost-effective. I didn't say cheap, but cost-effective, and is going to make it go away. People will start running to your door. You know, it's a matter of being able to communicate that effectively. So that was a great question from the audience.
Yeah, I love it.
Yeah. Now, a couple of things is because, the time is just flying. I just want to make sure we get a couple last questions in before we let you go. The number one thing that I want to find out from you is, what do you see as the future of LinkedIn? Where do you see it going as a platform?
Man, I'll tell you. One of the things that I saw and somewhat predicted and am happy that it actually happened is the LinkedIn Live, right?
Yeah.
So that's one thing that I was hoping for. And I think that's a big part of what's going to happen within the ecosystem over the next, 12 to 24 months, right? So when we say future, I have to think somewhat long term, because when we're talking about social media and technology and all that, it goes very fast. So try to predict what it's going to look like 5 years from now will be very difficult. Almost impossible. I mean, business in general is hard to predict that way, right? So LinkedIn, I think what's going to happen is, I think engagement, as opposed to people being focused on reach and virality and vanity metrics, I think the smart players are going to focus in on engagement, right? And I think that they're already starting to do that. So I think LinkedIn, you see some of the signs of this already happening, right? They've allowed you to more than just like the post. They've allowed you to kind of categorize and bucket those likes into different, kind of like the Facebook, love, that sort of thing, educate. I think there were a couple different things where you can change, not just a generic like. So I think that's one of the things. I think they've also, with the live factor, obviously that's driven by engagement, right? You don't do a live video if the goal and the key was not engagement. You can do any sort of video, any sort of native video. I think that, what I would like to see, but I'm not sure that we will see, is a resurgence of the LinkedIn groups. They have done some work in that realm. They've made some changes, but there are still very few high functioning groups out there. And what I mean by high functioning groups is they're not just a spam roll or a blog roll, right? I mean, right. It's just not people posting content to try to drive traffic back to their blog. They're real discussions. Ben, do you belong to the Step Into the Spotlight group with Sue?
No, I don't.
Yeah, you have to check that out. That's the most, in my opinion, that's the most high functioning LinkedIn group out there. It's called Step Into the Spotlight. The administrator and owner of that group is lovingly known as Sufit. So yeah, that would be a group that I think that other groups could model themselves off of, and that you can have a real meaningful conversation. I mean, those are a few things, but it's pivoting from, on the big picture, the platform is transforming from a recruiting and job site into more of a social media type platform. And you see this with the content and the engagement. So I think if you looked at LinkedIn 3 years ago, the morph that it's going through now is it's moving into more of a conversation and a dialogue, which is more social driven than just business. So I think what you're going to find is it's a little bit more acceptable to loosen up the tie, right? And to not be quite so guarded and not to be quite so scripted. And I think that's the direction that the content and the conversations are going.
Nice. Well, I just, before I let you go, just two things. One, people can get a hold of you at askdennisbrown.com is probably the best way to get a hold of you. You can connect with him on LinkedIn through there. You can find his blog. You can find his podcast. And I absolutely love having you. But one last thing before I let you go, and just a quick answer. When you leave a meeting and you walk away and you drive away, what's the one thing you want people to think about you when you're not in the room?
You know, I think the thing that I want to leave behind, whether that be in my relationships, offline, online, LinkedIn, business, social, family, is, you know, he gave more than he took, right? That's kind of the underlying premise behind, you know, if I were to say, hey, I'm trying to create my legacy with everything I do every day, it is he gave 10 times more than he took from the world and he made it a better place. He was a hard worker. You know, it was glaringly obvious that he loved his family. And if I can go out with those, if people think those few things about me when I walk out of the room or when I part this earth, then I think it was a good life.
That's awesome. Dennis, thanks for being on the show. We're going to go out to commercial, come back, and then I'm going to say goodbye to everybody. But thanks for being on the show.
Thank you for having me, Ben. I really enjoyed it.
This is Ben Baker of the You're Living Brand.live show. On K4HD Radio, we'll be right back.
The Your Living Brand Show is brought to you by Your Brand Marketing. Did you know that the world views your brand not as you desire, but as it relates to them? That's why you need to communicate your brand. Tell a story. Win loyalty. Your Brand Marketing helps you reach that goal. It's time to stop being a commodity and instead be a brand worth loving. It's time to contact Your Brand Marketing. Please visit www.powerfulpersonalbrands.com. Download a free chapter of the book on personal branding. That's www.powerfulpersonalbrands.com. Download your free copy now.
Welcome back to K4HD Radio. This is Ben Baker, and this is the Your Living Brand.live show.
And we're back. And I really wanted to thank Dennis for being on the show today. He just unpacked an enormous amount of great information on LinkedIn. And, you know, I'm going to be sitting back. I'm going to replay this podcast and listen to it myself and probably sit there with a pen and paper and see what I missed, because I'm sure there's a couple of things that are there that are just absolute gems that even I hadn't thought of for in the 10 years that I've been, you know, part of the LinkedIn community. I want to thank everybody for being part of the show today. I want to thank everybody for being here. I want to thank Dennis. I want to thank my incredible audience. I want to thank Rebel for being, you know, a great sound engineer. But I wanted to ask you, everybody here, something. I am in the process of setting up a tour of Australia right now. We're looking at going down for 2 or 3 weeks. We're going to be doing some keynote addresses. We're going to be doing some book signings, meet and greet, and also doing some workshops on how to grow, retain, and engage your employees in a more effective way. And I really, really am looking for some relationships. So if you know of any major companies in Australia, New Zealand over the summer, or, you know, throughout North America in the fall, that could use workshop and be able to help them communicate more effectively internally, I would love the relationship connections. I would love the referrals, and I would love people to be able to sit there and understand who we are, what we do, and why we do it, so we can help them communicate their brand more effectively, both inside the company and outside the company. Because when your clients, your internal clients, your employees understand your brand, they understand your story, they're more willing to stay. They're more willing to be engaged. They're more willing to be better advocates for your brand. And guess what? That turns into profit. And isn't that what every company wants? They want to reduce, you know, company turnover. They want to have a more stable workforce. They want a more productive workforce. And they want to have those people be advocates for their brand and make their customers happier. Because that's what business is all about. And that is the work we do. So come and talk to us. The name of the company is yourbrandmarketing.com. Come and find us. Love to have the conversation. We do free 30-minute consultations over the phone to understand the company needs and how we can help you. But until then, This is the Your Living Brand Live Show. We'll be back next Wednesday at 10 o'clock in the morning. Thanks a lot for being a great audience, and we'll talk to you then.
This has been the Your Living Brand Live Show. I want to thank everybody for tuning in today. My name is Ben Baker, and my company is Your Brand Marketing. We help you to stop being a commodity and instead be a brand worth loving. If you want to communicate more effectively and build influence through trust, contact us at yourbrandmarketing.com. That's www.yourbrandmarketing.com. But every Wednesday at 10 a.m. Pacific, this is the Your Living Brand Live Show. Tune in next week on K4HD Radio when we ask another guest, what's your story? Hey!